From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Oh, the services, 48.3 is not where we want to be.
Not really, is it? But look, you've got peace in the Middle East and share markets are bouncing. So that's a good start to Tuesday, isn't it? So we'll focus on that, not so much on the performance of services sector. Look, it's a large part of the economy, the services sector, circa 72, 73% of GDP. So this number is an important indicator. It follows on from the performance of manufacturing outcome we had on Friday. Yeah, I'd love to give you good news, Mike, but I can't because at 48.3, it's under 50, which signifies the sector is still in contraction. It is up very, very slightly on the previous month. It's not really what we want to see. Let's work through the details. The measure has been in contraction for 19 consecutive months. Long-term average is 52.9, so you're still well under that. Have a little look down into the details. Activity sales, obviously important, 47.8. And new orders, which is a bit more forward-looking, 49.6, both still under 50. The employment part of this, employment is a lagging indicator, we know that, but at 47.8, it's actually weaker than the previous month. We do continue. We hold a position here, Mike, that we probably don't want to hold. We continue to be an international outlier. 52.8 is the JP Morgan Global Manufacturing Services Index number, so we are well below that. Aussie, for example, 52.4. We combine manufacturing and services and you get 48.5 on a GDP weighted basis, so still in contraction. If I'm just think back to the NZIER quarterly survey business opinion, Mike, that revealed that the primary constraint for business currently is demand. They need to see more demand. Well, we're not seeing much of it, and you're not seeing much of a positive response on demand in these surveys yet. And the data from the PMI, the PSI, it seems to support a further 25 basis point cut in November because it seems to imply that Q3 growth was going to be a little underwhelming.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating number. It depends on who your Prime Minister tells us is gross, but others are telling us flat, if not backwards. Anyway, immigration tourism. So the tourism was better than immigration, right?
Yeah. So let's do the immigration month release of migration and tourism numbers. Still pretty subdued, really. The month-on-month net migration number plus 460 people, seasonally adjusted. That number could quite easily get revised away, I would have thought, from the month. Provisional estimate for the year, 10,628 plus. By way of comparison, last year we had gained 51,600 people in the 12 months to August last year. So we are not importing any more people anymore, Mike. That's been part of the sort of game plan for growth, unintentionally, probably historically. We're not doing it. And of course, this sort of weak migration is a key factor in the weak growth that we're seeing in consumer spending and also in the weak housing market, both in terms of house prices and rents. I think there's some QV numbers out this morning that confirmed that. Arrivals are down 16% in terms of outright numbers, so 138,600. Departures, 128,000. By way of comparison, the 10-year average on departures is about 88,000 people per year. So we're sitting 128, quite a lot more. And it's all sort of somewhat circular, Mike, isn't it? Because you get the weak labour market, which affects these numbers. There's no jobs, so people leave, and that makes the economy weaker. It's sort of kind of circular, which is why we talk about needing a circuit breaker. But yes, travel numbers look a bit better. Small improvement in short-term visitor arrivals. Seasonally adjusted, I think the tourism numbers are now sort of looking quite stable, and stable is good. 230,000 overseas visitor arrivals in August, half from Australia. Look, we're sitting just under 10% below pre-COVID. We're slowly working our way back. We might even get above it over the next 12 months. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it?
It would be a good thing, and they seem bullish about summer, so fingers crossed. We do have light in the truckometer, though, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We know we love the truckometer. Let's go count trucks. Light travel index relates to state of demand. 0.5% gain in September. It's 2.6% higher than a year ago. That's the strongest annual growth we've seen since March 24, and you're talking about demand here, and this gives you a sort of a read on the momentum in the economy. So cautious optimism for next year in terms of the light traffic index. Heavy traffic index gives you a steer on production. We've lost a little momentum there recently, 0.9% month on month, 1.7% year on year. But let's just focus on the light travel index because it's telling a better story, shall we?
Exactly. What are the numbers?
Well, here we go. I mean, the markets have bounced back after that sort of sell-off on Friday. The Dow Jones is up 568 points, 1.25%. 46,050. The S&P 500 is up 1.75%, so good move there, 115 points, 6667 the mark, and the Nasdaq up just over 2%, so it hasn't regained everything it lost on Friday, but it's getting there, up 456 points, 22,662. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained 15 points, 9,442, so a small gain there. The Asian markets, though, doing a bit of catch-up because the sell-off in the US happened after the Asian markets had closed. So the Nikkei lost 1%, 491 points, 48,088. Shanghai Composite down 8 points. That was 0.19%. The Aussies lost 0.84 yesterday, 75 points, 8883 the close. And the N650 closed at 13,352, lost 115 points, 0.86%. Kiwi dollar, 0.5734 against the US, 0.8789 Aussie, 0.4953 against the Euro, 0.4301 pounds, 87.31 Japanese yen. Gold still strong, $4,110, and Brent crude, $63.40.
We will see you tomorrow. Andrew Keller, Shaw and Partners.